Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, Sabbath Day, Saturn's Day, December the 31st, 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we are continuing talking about the importance of some of the basics of understanding the importance of 2017 and the importance of what I'm discussing and talking about when it comes to behavioral modification. The problem is most people don't know what's the problem. Stuff I talk about, most people don't even think about. Not because of an insufficient in their brain capacity or the inability to process the informing or the information. Is the fact that we don't understand that the information is important. I was watching the movie Assassin's Creed last night, and it was very powerful because a lot of the stuff that it talks about as far as telomeres and past life regression and understanding the mental process of how people do what they do. And so everybody want to change, but nobody want to put into work, or nobody asks the questions that leads to changing. So it is my prayer that you that are listening, myself, that we don't go into 2017 with the same thinking that we did in 2016. So that's the question. Are you taking into, or are you going into 2017 with the same mental process that you did in 2017? It is my prayer that you're not. But there's a bigger issue. There's a bigger concern, if you will, and that is not what you think, but how. Have you ever been asked that question, about that question? Are you going into 2017 with the same mental process or with the same thinking that you have in 2016? And if so, what is it? Not what do you think, how. Like, how do you think? Like, how does the brain work? Is that thought, you know, cross your mind? And if so, what capacity or what energy did you give to it? So most people are going into 2016, and they're going to make a New Year's resolution. But they're not going to make a new thought process. So if you're going into 2017 with the same thinking that you have in 2016, what do you think is going to happen in 2017? I'm just throwing this out there, food for thought. So you're going into 2017 with the same thinking that you had in 2016, but you want different results in 2017. Okay, and how is that going to work? So if how you think, not what you think, if how you process information is not getting results faster, slower, different, whatever. Now, if your processes is working for you and you're living your dream right now, you have everything that you want in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, so then you should not consider joining me in 2017. Because in 2017, I'm totally changing the paradigm on 25 people's lives as far as how they think, not what they think. And there are three things that's important. Now, for the rest of this year, until we start the program in the early part of January, I'm just going to drop a few nuggets as to what people are missing, you know, the importance of the program, because people say no to stuff that they don't even know that they say no to, because that's part of how we think, thus the problem. So you're going into 2017 with the same thinking that you had in 2016, but you are expecting different results. Okay. Now, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. So, brothers and sisters, there has to be a point in time in your life where you decide that I am going to change how I think. But everybody is telling me what to think, but very few people are telling me how to think. And how you think is huge. Wow, it is so huge that I don't even know how to begin the conversation to even discuss it. The only way to begin is you just got to jump in. Because 2017 is the year of becoming one, but you can't become one when you're two. And so I'm not talking about what you made and what your children and your relationships. That's a whole other topic for a whole other time. But I'm talking about you, yourself, and yourself. How all three of y'all are going to become one, all two of y'all. So me, myself, and I, all three of us, I've decided that the results I have today, the way that I'm processing information, what I'm doing with my life and how I'm doing it, I want it to change. I want it to oscillate or vibrate on a different frequency or a different level. I want to get better results faster. But most people that I know could care less about what I've just said, but they want different results. They will look you in the eye. They'll have tears rolling down their cheeks, but they're not going to do anything different. There's a I was reading a story, or actually talking to someone, and I'm trying to do better with throwing people's names out there and stuff. So I'm trying to talk more vaguely, because there is, you know, an incident, or there's someone who's the doctor sent home chemo and said that, hey, get your affairs in order. We tried the chemo, it didn't stop. It didn't stop the cancer. It didn't work. And the gentleman came home, and tonight he's throwing his going away party, huge party, inviting a bunch of, you know, people over, and, you know, alcohol, you know, women, you know, the usual stuff, going out in style. Now, I don't know about you, but I think differently. Like, since I got, you know, and he has some, you know, pretty deep pockets, a fairly wealthy guy, and lived a long life. However, just, you know, that ideal of, in my view, quitting or stopping or giving up or whatever word you want to call it. My brain looks for solutions to problems. It doesn't just accept the problem. It looks for, and it keeps looking for. I have a very hard time with this word no. I don't know why. I was been like that when I was a kid. You know, my grandmother and them, they used to tell me all the time, boy, you hard-headed. My grandmother used to tell me all the time, your life's going to be rough because your head is hard. And I was like, Big Mom, what do you mean? She's like, boy, you don't listen. I said, well, I had to figure stuff out on my own. She said, some stuff you just don't need to figure out. You don't need to jump in front of a Mack truck to figure out if that Mack truck hurts or not. Now, she said it a little differently, but, you know, her reasoning and what she was saying made sense. However, did it change my behavior? And so I can sit up here and I can tell you a lot of stuff. And you can listen to a lot of stuff. And you can read a lot of stuff. But I guarantee you, your behavior is not going to change. Because I've sat and I've talked with grown men who rape little boys, and I've explained to them that that is not cool in our culture. And with tears rolling down their cheeks, they expressed to me they can't change themselves, that they are wired, that something in them takes over them. And from personal experience, I realized the same thing. And that led me 25 years ago, however long it's been, to start this journey of self-discovery. And this journey of self-discovery has led me to this place of under, over, and understanding. Not what? I don't teach what. As a facilitator, as a teacher, I'm not interested in telling you what to think. I'm interested in assisting you how you think. And there are three things that determine how you think. One is your frame, emotions. Three is your perception. Now, the psychological ramifications of what I've just said in those three words, along with everything that I've been talking about this past week, is what I'm going to be dealing with in 2017. Because there's a lot of people like me who have good intentions, but they're doing bad things. And after they do bad things, they feel remorseful, like me. And they don't want to continue to do those things, but tomorrow they're going to do the exact same thing. And then there's people in their life who love that person, and they don't understand. Well, I love Jimmy, but Jimmy, you know, he gets drunk, he goes off, and he beats the snot out of me. And I, you know, me, when I was in law enforcement, I would say, leave Jimmy. They say, no, you don't understand. I love Jimmy. I can't leave. Can't leave, or you don't want to leave. No, I can't leave. No, you can leave. No, I can't. No, you can't. No, you don't understand. I can't. Jimmy said if I leave, he's going to come find me. Jimmy said he's going to get me. I said, no, you don't understand. You put a bullet in Jimmy's head, and Jimmy, you ain't got to worry about Jimmy no more. But that's outside the frame, the box. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk vaguely without using personal experiences. That's one of the things that I want to change going into 2017 for myself. But I want to use enough of the personal experience to add the realization and the reality of what I'm saying it and why I'm saying it. Because brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, if you don't change, if you don't understand how you think, nothing I say or anybody else say can help you. Because it's your inability to frame. It's your inability as people. This is now. I'm gonna break all of this down in 2017, step by step by step, so that way everybody can understand what I'm saying. Now, these three things I'm talking about that determines how you think, not what you think, how we make meaning out of something. So something happens, and how do you extrapolate what it means? Because it's amazing. When I was a cop, I would go to a scene, and there was 10 witnesses. And I would take out my notepad, so I would say, hey, Lodge, go ahead and get statements from the witnesses, man. Yes, sir. Okay, man, could you please tell me what you saw? Man, and they start going, I saw this dude, he came on there, and he did this, and he did this. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Can I get the telephone number, call? If we have any other questions, I'll give you my card. We'll be getting in contact with you. Thank you so much for for assisting us. And I go to the witness number two. And I said, witness number two? Yeah, and I saw this. Oh, hold up. So what you're telling me is that you saw the red vehicle come to the stop sign and it accelerated instead of decelerating. Now, witness A said that they saw the red vehicle come to the stop sign and stop. But witness B said that they saw the red vehicle come to the stop sign and accelerate. Then I go to witness three. And then witness three said it wasn't even a red vehicle. Witness three said that the vehicle was purple. Then I go to witness four. They said it wasn't even a vehicle at all. They said it was a truck. So how in the world do I get 10 witnesses and I got 10 different stories? How in the world do people process information differently? See, as a facilitator, I've spent my life in learning this, brother, learning this system. Because I just don't want to be another Jim. I don't want to be another Joe. I don't just want to be an average dude. I want people, when they listen to my stuff, when they hear me, the responses I get from YouTube and stuff is like, dude, I listened to your show and it blew my mind. That's the response I want. Why? I want to blow people's minds. Why? I want people to start thinking for themselves. Put your brain back. See, why, though, do I want people to do that? What do you think I did? I look for the easy way out. I wanted somebody to think for me. That's why I went into the government. That's why I went into every job I had. They gave me a badge and a gun, or a uniform at least. And it was very totalitarian. So I got to raise my children totalitarian. My son today has who I shouldn't be saying that. But anyway, too late. I've already said it. He struggles. Now, we talk about this all the time. This ain't nothing new. Thankfully, I struggled. My father struggled. My father's still alive. My father, 80 years old, sitting in a house by himself that, you know, somebody else paying for. Because my father didn't do what I'm doing. And if I don't do what I'm doing, then my sons are going to struggle. The devil is a liar. Because I am, and I have figured it out. And I'm going to pass it down to my sons. So that way my sons don't struggle. And they don't need somebody to think for them. Like I did. The reason my mother died at the age of 40, in my humble opinion, is because the inability to do what I'm doing right now, for whatever reason. Now, granted, the tools and everything is a whole different scenario. I'm not saying that it is bad or good. I'm just trying to give you an example of the importance of what I am doing and why you should join me in 2017. Because right now, your frame of reference is flawed. So is mine. So as a facilitator, It is my goal. The thing that I want to achieve is I want to take the best collective of resources, skills, and the things that God has given me, and I want to maximize. I want to collaborate with you. I want to take and I want to enhance your individual perception. I want to encourage you to take ownership. I want you to buy in. I want you to actually grab the bull by the horns. I want you to take the keys to your kingdom. I want you to drive your own vehicle. I want you to ride in the passenger seat. It's cool to go through life in the passenger seat. That's why somebody else drives. Nothing wrong with that, man. That's awesome. Off the hizzle for shizzle. But something that's better is when you decide to drive your own vehicle. And you say, you know what? Everybody said, dude, Everybody in the car said, turn right. I'm driving, man. I'm turning left. I don't know. It's just something liberating about that. If you've never tried it, you should try it. It'll blow your cookies. Just putting it out there in the ether. See, brothers and sisters, this requires each person to think and to respond differently because there's no two people alike. That's why I'm only taking 25 people. Because I need you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that you are an information processing machine. And somebody's controlling your way that you process your information. In that movie, The Assassin's Creed, man, it was off the chain. I'm thinking about going to watch it again. That movie was great. Because this gentleman decided that, you know what, I'm going to think for myself. I know what my ancestors did and what they thought. Even though he ended up making the same decision to continue to be an assassin, the goal was, the point was, he thought it through. People gave him stimuli. As a facilitator, as a master teacher, as a spiritual therapeutic specialist, as a behavior modification specialist, it is my job not to influence what you think. It is my job to give you the information so that when you begin to question and then that you determine your own answers, not in some pregurgitated answers that I've given you, but that you begin to ask questions about the model that you've been given that allows you to process the information that is presented before your eyeballs. So how do you understand? How do you think? What is your thinking process? It's important, brothers, that your senses are what science calls input devices. So all of this information is coming in through your five senses, which, as you know, you have 12 because you was a part of the last series that I did on the biology of the temple. So you know that your temple has 12 in-gates or gateways, portals. So these input portals, they input information. This is called processing. So my brain uses 12 things to process the stimuli or the electromagnetic frequency that's coming in, and the result is what I call behavior or output. So 12 gates take in senses or sensory and all of this stuff my brain processes. The question is, brothers, the question is, why do your brain process different from mine? How come me and you don't process information the same? How come I can see the same? Me and you can see the same. We can watch the same movie. We can see the same set of events. We can see something happen. I can sit and I can watch somebody getting, you know, let's say for an example, that knockout game. I don't know if y'all seen it. That kids walk around, usually black, unfortunately, and they walk past somebody that's a whole lot frailer, older, and they just stand next to them. And when the person least expected this, they just clock them, just knock them out. So the goal is they walk through neighborhoods, and it's, you know, 10 of them in a group, and then they just jump and knock the person out, or the knockout thing. Now, the way my brain works, if I saw that, whether I know the person or not, I'm going to try to inflict some bodily harm upon those people that knocked out that elderly person. Because they show no regard to their elders, no regard to human life. That's just the way my brain processes. Other people, now they got on people who see it, and they just turn and look away. They don't do nothing. Why? Probably because it's a group of people, and, you know, you don't know what they're carrying, and why risk your life for a stranger? You know, it goes on and on and on. But my brain just works differently. It just processes information differently. That's what I'm talking about. How can somebody watch something, a horrible event like that happen, and their brain prohibits them? The resulting behavior, the output, the response to the situation, brother, the response to the situation, sister, what is your response to the situation? There's a situation happening in your life right now and you are responding incorrectly, or there is a better way to respond. So we all have the same brain circuits. We all have the same sensory systems. We all have the same 12 senses. But why do we respond so differently with the same input? 10 people, again, I love taking blind studies. Now, I used to volunteer for this. I remember I used to go up to it. This company was called Farmco. I shouldn't be saying this, but, you know, hey, this is my life. I can talk about me. I can put my own self on blast. So Farmco was a company that was up in Austin, Texas, and I was young, dumb, and stupid. I used to go up there and be a lab rat. And I would volunteer my body because I was in pristine health, and them knuckleheads couldn't figure out, like, dude, like, how you, you know, like, yeah, you're a perfect lab rat. So they would pay me $5,000. This is how, when I was in San Marcos, this is how I paid my way, you know, through school. This is how I lived for about a year. No job. What did I do? I went up there. They get $5,000 to stay in the facility for 30 to 60 days. You come back, do blood work. Every day you have to get a blood draw. You know what it's like to get stuck by a needle every day? Thankfully, they give you the option of where you want to be stuck. So I was smart enough not to have the food stick me in my arms where they used to draw blood. So that way I wouldn't walk around looking like no crackhead with all of these needle marks in my arms. But long story short is, I was very fortunate because after the conclusion of every study, they would tell you whether or not you got the drug or the placebo. You know, the whole time I was there doing Pharmaco, I always got the placebo. That is the power of how you think. Because I hate drugs. I didn't want to do drugs, but I was desperate at that time. I didn't know I had skills and talents that I could create something. So, I was hooked on the titty. And when you're hooked on the titty, you don't have options. You got to take whatever the government or whoever. And so now my brain works. See, I've been in situations. I've, you know, purposely put myself in situations where I go somewhere. I've had people back when I was military days, you know, we go somewhere. Dude would get mad that I'm riding a whip. Say, man, you know what? Shh, put you out, dude. Okay, put me out. Well, how you going to get back? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Well, you know what? Get your butt out then. You know, obviously this isn't how I leave. I've been in relationships where people are like, you know what? When I come back, you need to be gone. Okay. When they came back, I was gone. And then the response was, well, I was just, you know, I didn't really want you to leave. I just wanted you to, you know, this is where I'm from. When you tell somebody, I got options. See, most people, I go to a job, I don't like the way they treat me at that job. Guess what I do? I quit that job. Now, everybody else tell me that, dude, that's stupid, man. You quit a job and you ain't got another job lined up? Like, man, what you going to do? They panic. Now, since I've been doing this for 50-plus years, it's just another day at the office for me. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you should do. I'm just explaining to you. Now, that should sound a little odd to you. Everybody I tell this story to, they're like, I wouldn't do that, brother. I wouldn't do that. If I had a wife and kids and stuff and depending upon them, see, I just read the scripture that said that the Heavenly Father said that he knows what I have need before I even ask. The scripture said I've been old and now I'm young. I've never seen the righteous forsaken and their seed begging bread. So since I've been on the planet, I've never been forsaken. I've never had to beg for bread. Never. I ain't have a regular job. You know, you guys know I get a job, work for a week and quit. So I don't really do that. I think God has always provided. What I'm trying to say, because why? The way that my brain works. So my brain draws to me provisions because I think provisionally. I don't see the glass half empty. I see the glass half full. Now, I'm not saying you should see that, but I'm trying to express fair to you how my brain works. And I'm asking you the question, how does yours work? So if you was in the same situation that I was in, I doubt very seriously you would react the way that I once stopped in the middle of a freeway. Well, everybody doing 80 miles an hour stopped, got out of my vehicle, walked over to the gentleman's car, and punched the glass out. I almost had to do it twice. But see, I processed information that I felt disrespected. So I wanted to make sure that the individual knew that, you know, I just wasn't the average Joe. So my question is to you, if somebody's tailgating you, if somebody's following you around town, then somebody bumps your car, what would you do? If somebody rides past your vehicle, rolls out of their window, and points a handgun at you, what would you do? I'll tell you what I did. I followed that fool to his house. Now, that's just me. How do you process information, brothers? How do you process information, sisters? That determines your level of success. So this requires you. Not what you think, it requires you to examine how you think. So any guru quote-unquote so-called guru, this is how you determine their salt level. If you got a leader or a facilitator or someone who you look up to, and they just keep telling you what to think, they don't really go into your personal history. They don't really examine your environment and your culture. They never ask questions about your date of birth and your time of birth and your place of birth. They don't ask the questions that determine how certain things impact or influence your internal processing pattern. If you hanging out with someone that you are paying money, especially to, or you reading books, and what they doing is fluff, like Tony Robbins and a lot of these guys, no disrespect. They're not clinical, man. They're not licensed or ordained, or they ain't been through. They ain't got the, I mean, not to say that they can't assist, but let's be for real. Can a white man assist a black man in changing his internal processing pattern? Now, ponder that question. That's a valid question. Because I went through, and I've had white, you know, Tony Robbins type, Tom Boo, Wade Cook. These were all gurus. I paid big money. And I did exactly what everybody else who did, who were white, all the white people got results. I didn't get results. You want to know why? It should be blatantly obvious. You ever went to a bank as a black man to apply for a bank loan to start a business? I don't know. See, I'm a black man. I did it. And I actually went. Now, I did this study myself. I went in, applied, nothing happened. My friend who was white went in, applied, he got the loan. Now, I've done this a plethora of times. I go to the store, somebody pulls up with a basket behind me, and all I know is I see this person on every aisle in the store. I come back out. I see my wife, who's Caucasian at the time. I send her into the store, and I ask her, when you go in, because I know she wouldn't notice this otherwise, look, just go to different aisles in the store and act like you're shopping and see if you see this guy. He has a green shirt on. He's this, that, and I describe the loss prevention specialist. Now, see, I taught loss prevention. I trained. I was a multi-store loss prevention specialist. So I trained catch shoplifters. So I know what to look for. So I'm saying, and then I would send my son, who looks more like Hispanic or Puerto Rican, in. Now, I would do this just to, again, because this is how my brain works. So I knew, now, in my last business I just had, guess what? Same thing. See, also African-Americans, we got to overcome more mental issues because of the negative programming or the psychological effect from our ancestors of slavery. That's what the movie Assassin's Creed is about. It's about how your repressed memories inside of your DNA from your ancestors that was passed down, just like the Bible says, the sins of the father is passed down to the son, to the third and fourth generation. And so when people, when you got stuff that you, now you got a predisposition for alcohol or whatever, and you don't even know because you don't know your personal history. So as a facilitator, it is my job, because I'm an expert in going in. Now, I used to do this spiritually, and we used to do it, and we called it, again, demonic possession. So my job was people, most of my clients, in fact, was all Satanists and ex-Luciferians and all these guys who had demons, and they would call me to get rid of the demons. But I didn't lay hands on nobody. I didn't summon up nobody, but I did do the same thing that the church did or does, but I did it biologically. Because again, my internal processing pattern, I understand how people think. And it is displayed, and I'm going to break this down in 2017 to help people understand that your internal processing pattern, you have to replace it with a life-sustaining pattern. And the only way that you do that is to go in and get rid of the negative habit pattern. You got a pattern right now, but it's negative. The reason that it's negative is because it's not giving you the desired outcome. It's not negative because it don't work. Brother, sister, if you like eating sugar, if you like getting drunk every, if you like waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning and drinking from 8 to 8 every day and blowing out your liver, that's cool. Then you don't need to change it because that outcome is not negative. It's only negative. Now, if you like making $10 an hour and you can get by on $10 an hour, you can take care of your family on $10 an hour, you can do everything that you want on $10 an hour, then that pattern that is producing that $10 an hour salary for you is working. Don't change it. This show is not for you. You would not be one of the 25 people that's hanging out with me in 2017. That's cool. Why? You like where you're at. That is okay. Ain't nothing wrong. Now, some of the activities that some people like, for example, raping little boys, unfortunately, in our culture, that's not legal. So some of the negative pattern habits you got to do on the DL or you could end up in prison. Because I talk to a lot of clients and they express and they expose and expand to me their dark secret. And when they tell me that dark secret, I'm like, brother, sister, that is illegal. Yes, sir. That's why I'm calling you, doc. Well, we got to get rid of that pattern before you get caught. Okay, doc, how are we going to do that? Okay, we've got three steps to help you get rid of that negative habit pattern. Those three steps are, number one, you got to change your picture frame. Number two, those emotions you got to go. And number three, your perception of reality is flawed. Let's change it. Okay, bro, how are we going to do that? That's what I'm breaking down for 25 people in 2017. Because all these other gurus out here, they don't deal with your internal processing pattern, homie. They are not dealing with your negative habit pattern. They're not replacing that pattern, that loop, that frame that you got with something that's life-sustaining. And so patterns are power. Your power comes from your pattern. I can look at anybody, give me about 5 or 10 minutes, and I can tell their pattern because we wear it on our face. Now, there's some people who have to do face recognition. You ever been to these, what they call them, mediums that they do? There's this whole iris study. You know that by looking at the pupil of your eye, somebody can tell everything about you? Your eyeball has your fingerprint. Don't believe me? Like one of my friends say, you're always telling somebody to Google something. Okay, Google this. The iris. You can go in and to these people, specialists. I would love to do it. It's just not my cup of tea. And so there is called iris. Now, I'm talking about your eyeball profiling, a profilers. So based upon your iris, there is a pattern. And based upon your iris, you can type in iris patterns. And they can tell. Now, the official term of it, I think, is called iridology, iridology. Now, it's like Tai Chi. It's like with the stuff that the Japanese or the Chinese do with the needle, acupuncture. All of this stuff, brothers and sisters, actually is a legitimate science. Now, it's not my science, but it is somebody else's science. So based upon the pupils of your eye, if there are certain dark spots and certain points in your eye, that represents dis-ease. So every organ in your body is displayed not only in your teeth, but also in your eyeball. So when I had my certain teeth pulled instead of having them repaired, because I didn't know that your tooth is a regenerating organ, meaning if you do certain things, if you have a cavity, it will regrow. But you got to get the metal out of your mouth. Now, there are what is called holistic dentistry. Holistic dentist who know this. They'll tell you to go home, get some coconut oil, do what they call oiling. I forgot what it is, all pulling. And you regrow your teeth. So if you don't know this process, if you don't know this pattern, you can do like what I did. See, brothers and sisters, everything I teach because I lived in error. So I didn't know. So I went to school, they pulled out 4 of my teeth. I can't get those teeth back. They're gone. So for the rest of my life, I have to live my life without the help because I listened to some guru. And now my mother died. She's not here. She's dead. Gone. Because she listened to some guru. What am I saying? Man, this is serious because this is your life. This is the only one that you got. This is the only one. This is it. So the quality of your life, I don't know about you, but the quality of my life is changing in 2017. I am going to be, I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am wise. And my relationship is off the hizzle for shizzle. Because I've predetermined, because I am putting in the work to change my frame, my emotion, and my perception. I'm putting in the work to modify my behavior. I am looking at life, and I'm hanging out with vibrational equivalent, the equivalence of exchange. I'm giving something more in use value than I'm receiving in monetary value. So the $5,000 that the 25 people paying me for 2017, at the end of 2017, they will all will be leaving me a tip. They're going to be giving me, they're going to be begging me to take more money from them. Why? Because the same way when I go to a good restaurant and I get good service and the person is the tenant and they just blow my mind with their service and the food is off the chain, man, I'm just giving everybody money. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Why? Because it's rare. It's rare to find people who are good at their craft, who understand what they're freaking doing. How do you modify and change your behavior, brother? How do you modify and change your behavior biologically, electrically, and chemically? How do you biologically, electrically, and chemically change the way that you think, how you think, not what you think? See, you cannot change the way you think or the way that you act or the way that you behave. Therefore, you cannot change the results unless the beliefs that you have, you pull them into question and you examine your generalizations and how you see life. Let me give you a little bit. Let's go a little deeper down the rabbit trail, shall we? See, you process information in a frame. Have you ever seen a picture? And did you ever change the frame that the picture is in? Take out a picture in your home and find a picture that has a basic frame and go buy a big, huge, fancy frame and put that picture, same picture, in a different frame. See, framing is how we make meaning out of the stuff or the input that we see. See, a frame is a mental pattern or a template. A frame enables you to sense something. So your frame of reference, if your frame of reference, if your template, if your mental map or your mental pattern, which is your frame of reference, is off, everything you see is going to be off. So if you don't examine, my brother, if you don't examine, my sister, your frame of reference, every time I talk to you, you will always have the same behavioral pattern because your frame of reference is off. You have to change your picture frame because everything that you see through that frame. See, we always use our some kind of frame because the frame is how we think. So your life is the result of how you frame stuff. That's your reality. It's not the reality. It's not real. But you frame it, meaning that if you put a horizontal picture in a vertical frame, what happens? See, we select what inputs that we pay attention to based on our frame. So my job is to assist you with doing what is called in the business of reframing. See, a frame is how we perceive. See, thankfully, we can change our frame. This is, again, called reframing. I can teach you how to reframe so that way you change the frame in which you perceive events in order to change the meaning of the event. So when I went back to my childhood and I changed my childhood, it's because I changed the frame. And people tell me every day that can't be done. Facebook, a couple of weeks ago, people told me, dude, you can't change the past. I changed mine, otherwise I wouldn't be here. I'd be sipping soup out of a straw in some insane asylum. Because I couldn't process the information that took place. It didn't make sense. Why would personal family members touch me inappropriately when I'm a kid? It didn't make sense to me, man. Why would my mother allow somebody to beat me and just watch? It didn't make sense to me. So I had to do something in order to live. So framing is a choice you make. Do you notice that all of the pictures in your house, the frame that they're in, how did they get that frame? Who put them in the frame, brother? Who put those pictures inside the frame? So you're going through life with a particular frame. Now, what is a frame? See, brothers and sisters, without understanding how framing works and how your beliefs work. See, beliefs are what we think. Whether it's true or not is another story. Most of what you think is not true. For example, all tall white people are, you know, listen to country music. That's a frame. So my brain is going to capture and put it in the frame. Every white person that's tall and listen to country music, every white person that's not tall and doesn't listen to country and western music, my brain is not going to frame it. The brain frames your beliefs. Your brain manipulates your beliefs to fit into your frame. So if you don't understand the criteria by which is the standards that you evaluate the experiences that happen in your life, you are framing events. Somebody is trying to help you, man, and you're framing it. You say, that person, man, they out to get me, man. I know they out to get me. I don't trust them, man. I don't trust them. Man, I look dudes in the eye. I told you guys about the veterans that we went through San Antonio, the streets, homeless, put all of them in apartments. Half of them are back on the streets right now because of their frame. What's the second major pattern? The second thing that these brothers and sisters, how you think, not what? Your emotions. Now, we all know that emotions follow thought. But brothers and sisters, there is a processing pattern that is called your emotion. Now, these emotions that you are having, you're having these emotions because of the frame and because of the ability or the inability to actually think about how this situation, this information is coming in. For example, can you remember a time when you were very suspicious of a person? Can you remember a time when you was very, let's say, apprehensive, or you was very nervous? Do you remember what that felt like? So what was it that made you suspicious about that person? Maybe right now you're suspicious about what I'm saying. So what is it that makes you suspicious? What is it about a particular situation that makes you a little apprehensive? Now think about, like, people that you work with. Is there anybody at work you don't really know? You see this person at the water fountain, you see them on your lunch break, you kind of suspicious about that person at the work? Now, remember, brothers and sisters, there is something that you sense or feel or think that makes you frame or see this individual as suspicious. Now, it is either valid or it is invalid. Your job is to understand which one. My job is to assist you with how to understand which ones. See, your emotions provide you with their energy or the ability or the chemistry to move, to take action. So massive action requires massive emotions, but your emotions require thoughts. So your thinking provides the energy or the emotions, because the emotion is the energy or the entity in motion. It provides also the motivation and the commitment for you to take action. So cognitive framing, or your ability to frame, again, provides you with the focus and the vision of what provides you with the energy or the emotion. So I'm telling you, you have an emotion, but I'm going to ask you, hey, why do you have that emotion? So you went to the movie and something happened on the screen and you got scared. Now, you paid the ticket to get into the movie. You know it's a movie. Why are you getting scared? See, reason and logic says, I'm watching Friday the 13th. I just paid $8 for the ticket. I know it's a movie, but yet my brain doesn't know it's a movie. My brain thinks it's real. So it is my job to make my frame a reference to tell my brain, using positive and negative emotions to override with the stimulation that my brain, because my brain doesn't know, but my reason and logic does. So my emotions can strongly influence the context of the situation or the stimulation that's coming into my brain. Long story short, emotions are wonderful things. They are the engine that drives your life. Unfortunately, all of your emotions are not good because your emotion is not using reason and logic. See, emotions, they just take the information and it doesn't determine if it's valid or not. So I can be very emotional about an invalid reason. Just look at any culture in the world, any culture, and you can go over to that culture, and it's that one culture where I saw with the little kids was taking a blade and it was hitting their forehead, and somebody put it on Facebook, and blood was coming out. Now that's a part of, you know, going from a boy to being a man. In some other cultures in Africa, you know, boys have to go out and, you know, like kill a lion, or you got to go. Like, let's look at the Jewish culture where, you know, circumcision is the culture. So, you know, you cut the foreskin off of, you know, that little baby. That's the culture. Now, is it wrong or right? I don't know. But that's the culture. So certain cultures, certain environments, again, require people to do certain things, and people just do it and without really questioning or bringing it into question. So, again, framing is number one, very important. Emotions, we've been talking about emotions. Your emotional state is based upon past memories. It's based upon how you perceive things. It's based upon your attention, whether or not you're looking at stuff. It's based upon your, you know, your emotional involvement, your discipline, your perspective, music. Man, do you know that music triggers an emotional state? I hope you guys, man. I've done many shows on music. Do you know that color triggers an emotional state? You know that smell triggers an emotional state? Your ability to recognize and acknowledge the emotional state that you are in based upon music. Do you know that your emotional state is controlled by the government, by extreme low frequencies? You know that somebody could pipe in the frequency of fear, and you wake up and you're afraid. You don't even know why. And without the ability to change that pattern yourself at will, whenever you want, somebody else is. So either you control it or somebody else does. See, your emotions are so powerful that they impact you and everybody around you. So I can't hang out with you based upon your emotional state if you don't understand how to control it. Now, it took me a while to figure out how to control mine, but guess what? I was one of the most emotional fools on the planet. So if I can control mine, I know you can control yours. But there's a process. This is called a life-sustaining process or pattern. Last, perception. Man, this is the third part of how your processing pattern. This is how you think. So your perceptual position. Now, you have the ability to look at the world from a number of different perspectives or positions. Now, let me ask you a question. If a giraffe and a chicken are looking at the same, they're observing the same event, but their position of seeing, hearing, touching is different. A giraffe's position and a chicken's position. Now, giraffes have their head up high. Chickens, even when they're down low, but do you ever notice a chicken? Chickens are always looking down, plucking. So if your perspective is one of a chicken, meaning you're always looking down. Now, this is just an example. I'm not calling nobody a chicken or a giraffe. I'm just trying to use a perspective. I'm just trying to use an example. So your, what they call, presentation. Your perspective, a giraffe's perspective, is totally different from a chicken's perspective. They both are looking at the exact same thing, but the giraffe sees clearly because he's up high. The chicken, he don't see what the giraffe see, even though he's looking at the same event. Perspective. The observer determines what is observed. See, either you are attached or detached. You're an attached observer or a detached observer. If it's a football game, I'm attached. If it's golf, I'm detached. I'm watching the golf game, but I'm not present in the golf game. In a relationship, but not be present in a relationship. So can you. What is your perceptual pattern? See, brothers and sisters, the power of your patterns. It's so important, my brothers and sisters, because right now you get to create what is called a representation of reality. It's not the reality. You take in and you process this information using these three things, framing, emotion, and perception, and that determines your presentation, your projection. And so now you project onto the landscape that reality. It's not the, it's yours. So in other words, how you think in the terms of the pictures and the events and the things that you see, the information that you process, this is what is called your representation to the world. Now, everybody uses this way of seeing. So everybody uses what is called a representation, or what I call a rep, R-E-P. Like you go to the gym and you do certain reps. So the more reps you do on a particular muscle, guess what happens with that muscle? That muscle gets stronger, and it gets stronger. How does the muscle get stronger, brother? How does the muscle get stronger, sister? By repetition, by reps. The more reps you do, the stronger it is. So you got a negative, and I say negative only in the event that if you're not making the amount of money you want to make, if you're not, you know, those four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, if you're good, then you're good. You don't have to do no more reps. But everybody uses reps. Repetition, that's what the Bible says, you know. And if we don't understand that, then we can override the negative habit pattern. We cannot change this loop that we are in. So in closing, in 2017, my job is to assist you with the internal process, the internal pictures that you see. And we're going to do a lot of what I call self-talk, faith talk, to remove mind chatter. So these three keys, brothers and sisters, are the keys to assisting you with, again, this was just an introduction to talk about some of the benefits that people that's a part of the program in 2017, we're not leaving it to chance. We're going to biologically, electrically, and chemically go in, identify, and remove the glass ceiling or the limited beliefs in your life. Those glass ceilings, those limited beliefs, is how you think. And how you think is determined by your picture frame. The same way you put pictures on your wall in a frame, the same way you respond emotionally to events at a movie that you know is not real. You know that movie is not real, but yet you respond the same way you respond to music. And then your perception. You know that your perception is your reality. So my job is to assist you with those three areas so that way you can be successful in 2017. And my brothers, my sisters, I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. Again, just a short introduction to what we're going to be talking about in 2017. I thank everybody so much for joining me. Again, wow, today's the last day of 2016. Yeah, day's 31st. So, man, next time I talk to you guys, it'll be a new year. New year, new you. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because He will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so so I give it to him for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.